What is your name?
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Your Houston Dynamo back in action. What better way to celebrate than with an ice cold Bud Light? Let's honor our great state of Texas this month with a beer that's made by Texans for Texans. Bud Light has been brewed deep in the heart of Texas for over 30 years right here at the Houston Brewery. Put on your Dynamo Orange, grab some friends, some refreshing Bud Light. Show me what your Texas is all about. Here's to the beer you can always count on. Proudly brewed in Texas, official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Bud Light. And with that, we bring in a very talented soccer player. Had the pleasure of calling a couple of her games in college while she played at Florida. Now she's a full-blown professional in the NWSL. You will see her in action on Sunday when the Chicago Red Stars are in town to take on the Houston Dash. She's Savannah Jordan. Savannah, welcome in.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And thank you for being so patient. She was on our tremendously beautiful leather couch in the green room waiting to come on after Tomas Martinez. So thanks for being here. Well, first off, very quick preseason, very short.
Yeah,
how much has been accomplished?
A lot. A whole lot has been. It was, like you said, a very short preseason. It seemed like it flew by. But with our whole new coaching staff, we have a ton of new faces on the team. But we've already grown so much from day one to now. We're really coming together and honestly so excited just to get playing on Sunday.
Yeah, I can only imagine. So one thing I keep hearing repeatedly is the word organization and that the team is now more organized. Take me into that a little bit, what the Vera Powell's been implementing.
Yeah, so our whole foundation is on teamwork. We started off simply with organization, and that started from our goalkeepers in the back all the way forward. And she's done a tremendous job, I think, with putting players in their strength positions and placing them where she thinks they're best. And our organization has just kind of grown off of that, and that foundation of teamwork, just working together and getting to know each other even more.
Now, what I liked about you when I watched you in college was that you kind of mixed up the type of runs and movements you made, and you were also capable of pulling off defenders and picking a ball up and getting turned and facing them and hurting people via the pass and or running at somebody. You know, where did that come from in the youth game? I mean, who was your youth coach? Where were your influences? You're a very technical player. I'm just very interested to find out, you know, what your big influences were and when they came about, maybe in your youth career.
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually started playing when I was 13, so I started
late
a little late.
Dang.
Yeah, but I grew up in Georgia, and I played pretty much for one club team the whole time, was Concord Fire. Had a great coach who basically taught me from scratch at 13, Mac Williams. He's from Trinidad and Tobago, and he taught me pretty much all of my technical ability. And from then I moved on to several different coaches. I had, Brian Moore, who now is an assistant coach at UGA. He was a great coach. He kind of gave me the ideas of how to play more as a forward, make those different runs and be more versatile. So I'm not just that single striker that makes the same movements. So he helped me a whole lot. And obviously I went through the ODP programs and some youth national teams and had many different coaches. But I think my biggest influencers were probably Mac Williams from the very beginning, who kind of taught me everything. And then from there, I took bits and pieces from every other coach I worked with and eventually met Becky in college.
Incredible, because at 13, I mean, he must have fast-tracked you technically. I mean, he must have had you working on a ball repeatedly.
He did. We
and you're a fast learner, obviously, which is a nice thing.
Yeah, we stayed out there for hours, and I'm pretty sure I bugged him a couple times. But we stayed out there, and he just taught me everything from how to dribble, juggle, all the simple things that you would learn when you're five or six.
Yeah.
I learned at a pretty quick pace, I guess, and then jumped into a team environment.
Savannah Jordan, Houston Dash, joining us. Dash against Chicago. I got more tickets to give out here tonight. It's Houston-Soccer.com. That's where you get your tickets. I'm amazed, but so, I mean, why didn't soccer enter your life a little bit earlier? Why did it take till 13? What happened?
I actually was a martial artist for most of my life. Most of my life from 7 to 13. Wow. I got my second degree black belt in that, and I was super competitive and traveled. I competed in several junior Olympics, and that was kind of like my main focus. And I kind of reached, I guess, the stopping point there and wanted to try a team sport, and soccer was what I fell in love with.
Well, now that I know you have a black belt, I'll feel very safe at the game on Sunday. So I'll make sure I'm, you know, in a seat near you in case there's anybody giving me a hard time in the crowd. The discipline of that, though, as a solo sport, as an individual sport, was it hard to then integrate into a team sport or no problem?
Yes and no, a little bit. It was because I was so used to just being relying on myself and didn't have to worry about being in a team environment. But I think that helped in a way, helped me keep stay disciplined. And I don't know, it excited me to be around other athletes and other teammates. And kind of that environment was even more exciting than being in a solo sport.
Savannah Jordan, again, in studio here. And NWSL getting off and running here. It's the longest standing women's professional league. Remember the WUSA and other leagues. It's here to stay. It's in Houston. And this team's got some very, very talented players under a Dutch coach. Do you think with Vera Pauw now, I find it intriguing that we have a bit of a European influence here preparing her team to play in the NWSL, which obviously has some pretty distinct differences at times.
Yeah, it definitely does. I think it is kind of cool to see the differences in her coaching style compared to a lot of the U.S. coaches that I've had. A lot of it is more reliant on letting the ball do the work. We aren't based around fitness and the athleticism of everything, but more the tactical and technical awareness of the game and how we play together.
Well, I would think in the heat as well. I mean, being good with the ball and measured with the ball and being a good possession team means a lot. And I know Vera has spoken a lot about the climate here, and she's kind of pared your training sessions down a bit, hasn't she?
Yeah, she has. She, I mean, she has us training at good times of the day, too, to keep us fresh for the weekends. But a lot of the girls here are used to playing in that heat. I mean, I came from Florida, so I'm used to it a little bit.
Yeah, you were a good signing.
The style of play that we play, I think, will help us a lot with that in the climate that we're playing in.
So, Savannah, I ask this question a lot to players because I'm not sure it's a question I would have wanted to answer about myself, but describe yourself as a player. Tell me what you think of yourself as a player, what your qualities are, strengths, weaknesses. I mean, you probably won't want to say too many of your weaknesses, but, you know, how do you perceive the way you play the game and what you bring to a game over 90 minutes?
Definitely is a tough question. I would say the biggest word is aggression. I think as a forward, a lot of times you do have a lot of technical players in there. For me, it's about doing my job in the game, and number one is scoring goals. And so for me, I do anything and everything I can to make that happen. And the physicality of the game, I think, is something that I can bring as well. A lot of times you have to be strong up there to hold the ball up against big center backs or strong defenders, and I think I can bring that a lot. And as you said earlier, just a little bit of the versatility that I have of making those runs in behind, being able to get behind players, but also being able to hold up the ball and link up with my midfielders that I'm playing with, I think are some of my strengths. I don't know how much of the weaknesses I want to go into.
We don't have to talk about the weaknesses, but that was a good assessment.
I know I have some.
Yeah, well, we all do. Join the crowd.
Yeah.
Right? The way a striker plays the game, the selfishness side of it, don't you have to be a little bit selfish?
You do. And a lot of coaches have always tell you that. When you're inside the box, that's the time to be selfish. A lot of times I do like to link up a lot and play with my midfielders and have that unselfish game. But anytime you're in range of being able to put the ball in and do that for your team, then you take that.
I asked Nichelle Prince, I guess it was yesterday at the press conference, a little bit about the quality of defender now in the NWSL, going from the college game. Just talk to me a little bit about that. And are the defenders a lot smarter in the NWSL maybe than they are in the college game, where maybe sometimes it's dependent upon athleticism first and foremost?
I definitely think first and foremost it is athleticism. you're taking the best of the best out of college and putting them into a smaller league where that's all that you're going up against. And so it is athleticism and speed and aggression, I think, are the biggest components that play into that. So I would say that's the first challenge in this league.
Some of the defenders, I asked Nichelle, who was the toughest player she went up against? She came up with Becky Sauerbrunn. How about you?
I haven't played against her yet, so I'm sure she's probably right about that. Emily Sonnet is
very good.
A tough one for me to play against.
Virginia.
Yeah, she's very good and very, very smart player too, as well as athletic.
All right, so if I'm a layperson to the women's game, and I'm just somebody who, hey, we got a women's team here in Houston. Mm-hmm. Tell me why I should come and watch you play.
I think...
other than the great reasons you just told me about you as a player,
yeah,
but maybe as your group, your team, mm-hmm. Why should I come see you play?
Well, first, I think it's the support of women's sports. I think that's a huge area, not just for soccer, but in all women's athletics. Just to get out there and support them is the same as you would go watch a men's game. And to me, it's just as exciting, just as intense. Obviously, there's different levels of athleticism there, but I think it's, like I said, just as exciting to go and watch those games. And especially for youth players, young girls who are playing in club soccer, they have a dream or a goal to reach the level that we're at or even higher. And I think that kind of gives them a little bit of hope in a way, and role models to come out and watch and know that they can get to that level and know that it is established in the U.S. as a women's professional sport and that can be achieved.
You know, I was saying that on the Facebook Live broadcast. I mean, the perfect compliment to any youth soccer player is coming to watch you guys play. I mean, mm-hmm. and gals play. I mean, it's the perfect extension of player development.
It is. I definitely think so, because you can directly relate to women's sports. I know going to watch men's sports, it's fun, but it is hard to directly relate to that. And so for young girls, it's the same thing. When you grow up, you can play in this league as well, and hopefully that'll continue to grow.
Houston Dash's Savannah Jordan in studio. This is great because I love doing live interviews as opposed to not seeing the person, like our last interview tonight, which is Sal Mietha from Munich, Germany. No, we couldn't fly him in. Thanks to Edgar Valise also for getting Savannah here. Thank you, Edgar. So let me just move on now to kind of Chicago, and it's a team that's chock full of a bunch of national team players. So there's another reason why you come out. You come out because the opponents have darn good players too. Every team in this league is stacked. They've all got national team players. Casey Short comes to mind, Julie Ertz, Alyssa Nair, and I know I'm missing a bunch of others, but talk a little bit about Chicago. You've played against them before and what they're about.
I think they're a great team. They're super organized. We actually just played them last week when we were in Portland. And like I said, they're an organized team. They have a great talent. And I think it'll be a tough match. I think what we've prepared for in preseason leading up to this, I think we're ready. And as you mentioned earlier, we're really organized as a team. So I think we have a strong foundation going into this game. But they have a great team, and I'm excited to see where we go with it.
Is there some unknown going into Sunday?
I wouldn't say it's unknown. I think it's an exciting, nervous feeling. I know for especially a lot of the younger players, which we have on our team, that you get a little bit of those nerves and a little bit of excitement. But we all trust in each other a lot, and I think we've learned that from each other in this preseason.
Savannah Jordan in studio of the Houston Dash. They're in action on Sunday against the Chicago Red Stars. Pre-game rituals. I mean, we all have them or had them. What do you do? Is there anything specific you do? Rest, diet, walk the dog? What is it?
I'm actually very superstitious.
All right.
So I had the same routine all through college, did the same thing. In the mornings, I would eat the same meal, pre-game, have about the same thing. And going into the game, I had one playlist that I always listened to. And one particular song before every match that I would lace up my cleats to. Of course, I always wore the same headband every game.
That I remember. The color. In fact, somebody told me from, I think, Florida's, maybe their PR staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, someone asked me if I ever changed them out. I do wash them, so that's good.
They're hygienically clean before every game.
But, yeah, I wear the same one every game. Always tie my left cleat before my right, just little things like that. And the music is an important one. And then I'm ready to go.
So you know I'm not going to let you go because everybody's out there. Ask her what song it is. Ask her what song it is. What song is it?
It's Girl on Fire by Alicia Keys.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. It's an older one, but I started it my freshman year. And it was funny because I hit shuffle on my iPod and it was the last song that played before my first game of my freshman year. And it went well, so I just continued that.
I'd stay with that ritual. I think it's working pretty good. I want to take you back to the wide game too on the team, because I should have asked you this before when we were on the. But a good wide game is obviously important to any center forward.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle Prince, ultimately when she gets healthy, Kalia Ojai. Talk to me about a wide game and what it does for you, because obviously it helps create space for center forwards, maybe pulls the center back out of the middle, mm-hmm. gives you a little bit more room to look for the ball.
Yeah, it definitely does. I think, especially with those two players out there, their speed is phenomenal. And we have some other players that can also play that position too. But it does help a lot as a center forward to have that width on the field, because like you said, it draws out those center backs and it can leave me more isolated in the middle and a lot more room in there to work. So with those players, I've been super excited to play with them, and we've seen a little bit from Kalia already, so it's pretty exciting to get to work with her too. But yeah, the width is important, and I think we have those players to do that.
What do you watch? What do you watch? Different leagues from around the world? Do you watch a lot of soccer, or is it, you know, sometimes people come in here and I'm expecting them to say, oh yeah, I watched the Champions League today, and they go, oh, I don't watch soccer.
Yeah, honestly, I don't watch too much soccer. I watch it when I need to. Obviously, I watch the U.S. women's team, and in college a lot, our coaches had us watch Barcelona. I think most teams do.
It's a good watch.
So I watch some of those games, but outside of soccer, I really do like to keep my mind on some other sports, and it's fun to watch that and see different athletes.
Yeah, is that a good – do you have to break away from it? I mean, you know, because some people are inundated with it 24-7. You got to get a break, right?
You definitely do, because we're out there and my mind is in it when I'm in it. And then when you do get that break, it's good to refresh. So then when you come back, you're at 100% again.
Savannah, thank you very much for coming to the studio. Very engaging. Obviously, I've seen you play. Tremendous player. I wish you the best of luck against Chicago, and I hope we can have you up here again sometime.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
All right. That's Savannah Jordan, Houston Dash. Our thanks to Edgar Felice for getting her up here. Again, let me just remind you, the Dash are in action on – oh, don't go away, because you're going to help give these tickets away. The Dash are in action on Sunday. It's 4 o'clock. They will take on the Chicago Red Stars. Tons of national team players will be available. So you will say the – I'm going to say – I'm going to give the phone number, and you're going to go whatever number you want. What's the number on your back?
10.
Okay, call, and you're going to go caller number 10. You get the Dash tickets. Ready? Okay. Here we go. All right, we're going to take a quick break. 713-780-3776.
Caller number 10, you're going to get the Dash tickets for the weekend.
And that was Savannah Jordan. We'll take a break. More to come here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. You heard it. 713-780-3776. Caller number 10. You're going to the Dash Red Stars.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
For Lucas Vasquez, looped cross back post. Ronaldo, is that game over? Is that tie over? It is a ninth straight Champions League game with a goal for Cristiano Ronaldo, matching Ruud van Nistelrooy's competition record from 2002-2003.
Dangerous of a beast is Real Madrid right now in the Champions League. By the way, it's not going to be easy against Juventus. But man, when Ronaldo is scoring goals, and he is consistently again, no telling where it can go. Welcome back. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. A little blast from the past there with the Ramones. Houston Dynamo back in action. What better way to celebrate than with a nice cold Bud Light? Let's honor our great state of Texas this month with a beer made by Texans for Texans. Bud Light. It's been brewed deep in the heart of Texas for over 30 years right here at the Houston Brewery. Put on your Dynamo Orange. Grab some friends. Grab some refreshing Bud Light and show me what your Texas is all about. Here's to the beer you can always count on. Proudly brewed in Texas. Official beer of the Houston Dynamo. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And it is Bud Light. We love the folks over at Bud Light. I can't tell you. I don't even know how many years it's been they've been supporting me, but not me. They have been supporting soccer on the radio and in this community. And that's something you got to remember. These sponsors on this show are people that love the sport of soccer. I can surely tell you that. So very, very important. I just want to tell you about Azure Salon. It's in the heart of River Oaks. It's in West Ave Shopping. If you know where Gables West Ave is, at Westheimer and Kirby. So I used to live there. And I was like, I walked out one day and I was like, oh, there's a place I can get my haircut right here. Why get in my car and go anywhere? Anyway, I find out Azure Salon is excellent. Stylists are great. They keep me looking sharp, clean me up for TV work, so at least I'm presentable. It's AzureSalon.com. I go to Tristan over there, but Azure Salon is the place to go for you guys. And also, ladies, they got you covered with colors, cuts, extensions. AzureSalon.com. Whoever would have thought that I'd be on a soccer show talking about colors, cuts, and extensions? But I am. All right, so the question of the night was 713-780-3776. Who are you pulling for in the World Cup? Again, question of the night, 713-780-3776. Who are you pulling for in the World Cup? Now, you may be a U.S. fan, okay? You may be a U.S. fan that, you know, obviously, we ain't going, baby. We got knocked out by Trinidad and Tobago. So if you're that U.S. fan, is it essential for you to have a team to pick? Did you always have a second team? In my case, I'm going to reveal. Well, first of all, I just love great soccer. I don't care who's playing it. I like the aesthetics of the game. So I like the way the game is played as well as results. But with a mother's name who was Nesselhoff, the Mannschaft in Germany, is my second team after the U.S. So now, that doesn't mean if Lionel Messi in Argentina wins it, I'm almost equally pulling for him because I would love him to cap what is an amazing career. All right, he's a great man. He helped us out at the Kick Cancer Clinic at Cy-Fair Dynamo. He is Victor Ariza. He joins us now. Victor, what's happening?
Good. Always fun to be talking soccer. I find it funny that I've never heard about your German background. All of a sudden, you conveniently have a German background ahead of the World Cup. But I'd be digging it up, too.
Aren't you from Belgium, Victor?
Yeah, I am.
Don't you have some ancestors from Belgium?
That's right. Also,
well, I took one of those genealogy things, and I found out I'm, you know, part American Indian, part Canadian, part German, part Croatian. And on top of that, I got a little Mexico City from Guadalajara because there are some blue-eyed people down there.
Yeah, I believe my last name, Araiza, is somewhere from like Basque County, and you can trace it all the way back to Spain. So I'm going to go with that. I'm going to pick with Spain for the World Cup.
All right, I like that. All right, let's get serious here because I'm being a little bit goofy tonight. It was really good having Savannah Jordan and Tomas Martinez in here. What jumped out to you about their in studio visit, both of them, Victor?
About them, their willingness to talk. I think the way they express themselves, I think that's what people want to hear. Fans try to get to know the players and putting themselves out there in this type of platform. And I think, you know, Tomas was saying that, I don't know if you mentioned it on the air or not, that, you know, he was talking to Philippe, who's been on the show before, and that they enjoy coming on this show because you're a soccer mind. And that's what they like. They like to talk the game. They like to talk you know, tactics and mannerisms and everything that comes around the beautiful game that you don't get in regular sports talk radio.
By the way, and I forgot to ask, this was a big snafu on my part, I forgot to ask Tomas Martinez. He was with the Argentine national team during the last World Cup. as a player they used.
Because he was with the under 20s.
Right. So he trained a ton with those guys in training sessions. So it's pretty remarkable. But I loved listening to him talk about the varying degrees of the leagues. And, you know, for such a young guy, he's seen so many different things. All right. So look, you uncovered something pretty interesting here, kind of an anonymous poll that ESPN's been doing with MLS players on a variety of subjects.
Yeah, well, they've been doing this for 4 years now. This is the fourth one, ESPN FC, and the results, some of it came out yesterday, and then some of it, the rest of it was posted today. And I think some of these things, and these are only 104 players, so we got to take into account that it's only a fraction of the league. You know, we don't know what's the real makeup of these players, if they're, you know, mostly bench players or
Well,
starters.
It is a poll, so you got to be careful always in polls, but...
Right, but
it is pretty interesting.
Yeah, 51% believe that the young American player does get enough playing time in the league. 61% of the players polled thinks the playoff system should be remodeled. 62% favor promotion relegation. I just think some of these things are kind of
shorter season.
Yeah, good to pull from it. Patrick Vieira was the coach. I guess you could say voted. Most likely that they would most like to play for.
Let's just stop on that one. So that one's probably because of who he is, where he's been. It has to play into being on the Invincibles, of course. But
the second guy,
they
is
may
Greg
like
Berhold,
the way too. New York City FC plays.
Yeah, and then obviously Tata Martino, Bob Bradley, among the others. The other end is a little. Interesting, because which current coach would you least like to play for? 11%, the top vote getter, Wilmer Cabrera of the Houston Dynamo, and Oscar Pareja, 9%, Ben Olsen, 9%, Peter Vermees, 8%.
That you'd least like to play for?
Least like to play for.
Peter Vermees got 8%?
That's what this says.
So that's about his intensity. And by the way, Peter Vermees has been pretty damn successful.
Yeah, and I think
Pareja has been pretty successful. Wilmer was successful last year, so it's interesting.
Right. So, and then some of these answers, there's some quotes in here from, again, anonymously, says, and I'm guessing this is a player that was on the roster last year, I don't think myself and a handful of players saw eye to eye with Wilmer Cabrera and in return basically never saw the field. I think maybe he was a grudge holder. I don't know. I mean, to me, I think with Wilmer would maybe stick out to a player would be the rotation policy. You don't have a set... continuity, I guess, in that sense. You're always rotating the squad.
I think that's going to naturally correct itself a little bit this year without all the international call-ups. I'm not sure it'll be as liberal as it was, but time will tell. But the other thing is, you know, you have to be careful in these polls. It can be a disgruntled player that maybe had a big piece in a reason why he wasn't playing either, you know?
So, the other thing I think it might also do, not just with the coach, but with the organization they represent. For example, one player said, whoever is coaching New England, doesn't matter which coach it is. And we've seen Brad Friedel has gotten off to a bit of a good start with New England, but, you know, to certain players, it doesn't matter. And I know Hercules Gomez on ESPN FC also said that according to his contacts in the league.
Can you play the Hercules Gomez soundbite? Is this the one you're talking about? Well, we have a Hercules Gomez soundbite.
Do you think got the most votes as a guy that players would least like to play for?
Oh, this was this is a little stunning.
From what I've heard from players, it would have to be Oscar Pareja or Wilmer Cabrera because of the teams that they've been employed by, which most players don't want to play on those teams, and the type of demanding attitude that they have towards their players. I think they've both had their run-ins with players. I would say one of those two.
What coach isn't demanding and what coach hasn't had run-ins with players? I mean, it's professional sports. Jose Mourinho's having a run-in with Paul Pogba, and quite frankly, that could be a generational thing. I want to go back to what Hercules Gomez just said, because, look, this is no different than the NWSL. Where do players want to play? They want to play in markets where they get tons of attention. They want to play in markets where there are big crowds. They want to play in markets where there's liberal spending. So who doesn't want to play in Seattle, Portland, Toronto? In places like that, that are packing them in, that the team is as relevant as any pro team in their city. And listen, this is just a fact. This is reality now.
Yeah, speaking of
there are haves and there are have-nots in the minds of soccer players in this league. You know, Kristen Press, why didn't she want to come to Houston? I don't know. I don't know, but...
Now that impacts, one of the questions was, if a stadium had an artificial surface, would it impact your decision to join that team? 63% said yes, among some other quotes.
That's Seattle and Portland, and that's the only thing I don't like about Seattle and Portland, lack of authenticity with artificial surface. Yeah. Can't stand it.
Players
can't
said no.
Sorry, Seattle. Sorry, Portland. Sorry, Atlanta. I love you got 72,000, but when you get those big crowds, guess what? Nobody cares about the surface.
It says hard yes. I don't like turf, plain and simple. Times I played on it, takes a day or two extra to recover.
Could shorten your career too, by the way. I have a hip replacement and a partial knee replacement because of bad artificial surface. Now, I know it's been improved. Every time I say something like this, I'll get some contact from some company that does it, and we want to show you how good our stuff is, and I don't really care. Because it's not going to help my situation, but it does alter the game too. I'm sorry, it doesn't play natural like grass. It's just the way it is, and I feel pretty strongly about that.
Hardest place to play in MLS, 17% said Kansas City, right in front of Atlanta, who got 14%, Portland 13%, and Houston came in fourth or tied for fourth with Seattle and 12%.
Okay, so let's who was number one?
Kansas City.
Okay, so Sporting, tough to play there because people, I would imagine, on top of you, always a sellout.
That's what it says, they're fans.
You got to run into blue hell, right?
It's nonstop from the first minute till the end. That's what one player said. Portland, the best environment in MLS. That's what another player said. About Houston. Houston, the verbatim. Houston, the heat, the humidity, no fans, the grass isn't great. And then the low crowd thing comes up with New England as well. New England is tough because the crowds are pretty small and the field's not great, and it's just weird vibe going into that game.
Yeah, that's interesting because, you know, you are talking about when there aren't crowds in venues you play in, sometimes that can negatively affect you.
Yeah, I mean, but it's working for Houston, right? I mean, only one game lost all season at home, so I don't think they'll don't care too much about that. This one, 82% not happy with MLS's salary structure.
Mm. No kidding.
Needs to be a higher cap. They're saying it's getting better, but there's still a huge gap between the players.
Of course. Players always want to get paid more. I want to get paid more, too.
And then
so do you, Victor. It's coming, baby.
You can't complain. There was one else.
Yeah, we don't complain. We're loving what we do.
Yeah. By the way, guys that they would like to see as designated players, obviously Lionel Messi, Cristiano Ronaldo 1 and 2, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, for the fans that are saying maybe he's too old. The players don't think he's too old. The players, you know, third highest guy in front of Neymar.
Well, is that a realization from players that they do realize that high-profile guys bring more eyeballs to their league and their teams? I mean, we all know how great they are as players, but those are all guys that if they make the move to this league, it's going to bring eyeballs and attention. And look, you can say whatever you want about David Beckham. This league would not be where it is without his arrival here in the United States and the shot in the arm that he gave to this league. For that alone, he should be put in the U.S. Hall of Fame.
Yeah. 58%, by the way, says the how has the impact of VAR been, the video assistant review? 58% positive, 12% negative, 29% are still on the fence. But it says it takes accountability away from referees and slows the game down. The one negative I have with it as a player and in the future as a fan is not quite understanding when it's going to be used.
I don't agree with that. It takes accountability. No, it doesn't. In the end, the referee still ultimately has a decision. It's just a tool to back him up. So I don't agree with that.
And the other things, general allocation, target allocation, if the players understand these mechanisms. One player just said flat out, I would remove all restrictions on how owners spend money.
He just wants an open system, not a centralized league.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break. We got coming up. That's a good segment there, Victor. I appreciate that. Great due diligence there. Nice segment. I love the back and forth. Good stuff there. That was very interesting. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Sal Mitha is going to join us from Talking Fußball. We're going all the way across the pond to Germany. And a little secret, he has offered me tickets to the Champions League between Bayern Munich and Sevilla. And if you don't see me here that week, or you are listening to this show and it sounds taped, you will know where I am. Might just be hopping on that bird to Germany, right? I got to go explore my German roots. Nesselhoff.
You have to.
I have to do it, right?
I hear they have some good beer, too.
Houston Dynamo back in action. What better way to celebrate than with an ice-cold Bud Light? Let's honor our great state of Texas this month with a beer that's made by Texans for Texans. Bud Light, brewed deep in the heart of Texas for over 30 years, right here at the Houston Brewery. Put on your Dynamo Orange, grab friends, get down to BBVA Compass Stadium. Here's to the beer you can always count on proudly. It's brewed in Texas, official beer of the Houston Dynamo and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, they are presenting sponsors of this show. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. You get in an accident, you need their representation, you need John. Daspit Law Firm will treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. They'll work 24/7, nights and weekends. 713-322-HURT. Thank you, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Thank you, the Flat Houston and DJ Sun. And we take a break. We come back. Sal Mitha talking German national team, Bundesliga, Leipzig, and Timo Werner.
Restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Hey, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Quick word here, and I want you to listen to me carefully because you want to watch Cristiano Ronaldo, Neymar, Lionel Messi, all in crystal clear television. With the World Cup rapidly approaching, it's time to get your home theater situation sorted out. THS is the place to go to get set up for the 2018 World Cup in Russia. THS will come out. They'll get you a quote and on your way to home theater installation with all the latest 4K video technology. Tap into 20 years of THS experience. THS can do it all from home theater, home automation, networking, lighting designs, motorized shades, and home audio. Again, it's THS. Home theater for the World Cup in Russia or your favorite sporting events? I think so. Call my friend Jesse, 281-506-7822, or email jesse@ths3inc.com. Crystal clear. Do not deny yourself during this summer's FIFA World Cup. So World Cup is on our mind, and a guy that we're going to touch base with, he is a great friend of the show. He's a great personal friend of mine. He is from Talking Foosball. He is Sal Mitha, and he joins us from Germany very late at night. Sal, first off, weather report in Germany, and how are you?
I'm just freezing here. It's supposed to be spring, but it feels like December 20th, like the beginning of the Christmas season here. Good to be on, Glenn. Thanks, as always.
Always a pleasure, Sal. All right, I want to start off with the German national team, Yogi Löw.
Yep.
March 23rd, Germany taking Spain on in a friendly. What has Yogi Löw been saying about this friendly against Spain? What are expectations of what he wants to get out of this match?
Yeah. Well, when he first mentioned or when he first gave out the list of players on there, it made the media and, of course, the fans take a second look because it's all a bunch of Bayern players. But the key is leaving out, you know, World Cup hero, World Cup final hero Mario Götze, Royce and Schürrle. And they were like, wait a minute, why aren't you playing them before the World Cup? But, Glenn, there's no doubt. Those three, they're on the team when they're healthy. So with what's gone on with them over the past few months, of course, with Marco Reus's injury that has kept them out of the national team since 2012, there's no reason to take a risk in the friendlies. So with just such depth, Jogi Löw can continue what makes Germany the best program out there. You know, they didn't win the Euros last time, but they still have the luxury of giving the youngsters the minutes and not losing stars. Of course, then it will cause a situation every team wants to have. Too many good players, but this is the Mannschaft, right? You know, Löw has developed a system, and it's working. Both Spain and Brazil are excellent tests as we head towards the end of the club season. He can analyze it, see how the players play as the club seasons wrap up, and then he'll have to make the tough decisions, but the ones that the media and the fans are confident that could lead to a repeat in Russia.
So there's obviously a player that I've been watching a lot lately with Leipzig, yep. Timo Werner. Where do you see him fitting into the plans? Because he's shown some good things for Leipzig in the Europa League, and also, you know, coming off Leipzig's 2-1 win, by the way, over yeah. Bayern Munich.
Yeah. Well, first thing about Leipzig, when I, you know, they were such a splash when they got into the top league in the Bundesliga, you know, Red Bull bringing their money in, bringing this team into the league and signing all those players, and you thought, okay, well, this is a, and I remember seeing them right before the end of the first half of the season, 3 points behind Bayern, and the way they were outclassed by Bayern at that time, I was like, okay, yeah, this is just going to be a one-season fluke. But someone like Werner, 18 goals, 7 assists so far this season, is proving that his debut season last year was no fluke, but also the thing is that the team itself, even though they're kind of behind of last year's pace, they're only 6 points behind second place, 5 points behind Dortmund in third for that automatic final Champions League berth. So Timo Werner's season, the way he's played, he will definitely be on Yogi Löw's squad going to Russia this summer. So he's only 22 years old, and the team is such a powerful team, and we'll break them down why they're so good. But I'm glad that you've been able to see him and call on him, and I'm sure the fans and the listeners have been watching him, because he's going to be like the next generation after, let's say, a Thomas Müller, who can score and be up there when it comes to German on the international level, because on the European level he's scoring and helping them win in the Europa League as well.
Yeah, great movement, Timo Werner. A great guy to watch. If you haven't watched Leipzig yet, watch them. They're a high-pressing team. They're very, very young in the Europa League. They played an 18- and a 19-year-old center back, two French kids. It is a fun watch. Watch them. If you missed that Bayern-Leipzig game, that was a great game this yep. past weekend for anybody listening here. On another note, another future guy, Leroy Sané, who's been playing exceptional for Manchester City, where do you see him fitting into the picture this summer? And I know a lot of this also will come down to health and how people are coming through their leagues at the end of May.
Yeah, he's definitely on the roster for the friendlies coming up. And again, that's the embarrassment of riches that God, the Germans
crazy.
Can play with.
Yeah, it's crazy the depth that they've gotten so many. I mean, I'm just looking at the names on the roster in front of me. It's ridiculous. Hummels, Boateng, Kimmich, Rudiger, Kroos, Khedira, Can, Draxler, Müller, Stindl, Sané, Ozil, Sandro yep. Wagner, a target type for Mario Gomez has had some uptick in his time now at Stuttgart, so he's now back in big contention. And all the guys you just didn't mention, Götze and who else? Marco Reus, unbelievable.
Yeah, and you know, of course, you know, we only have one country can play, but you know, you can split this team in two, and you can probably see them in the final. And like you said, Gomez, even though he's the much maligned Mario Gomez, he's had some ups and downs. But you know, on any other nation would definitely put him in the starting lineup, and his spot would be up there. Right now, the national media, the Bild, has him at about a 40-50% chance, maybe even less than the 40% chance of making the national team. Of course, now he has a chance in the next two matches to probably score a couple of goals, and then give him that honor position of maybe being one of those guys that comes in the 75th minute, maybe the 80th minute in a tough close matchup when in the quarterfinals to kind of wrap things up because of his experience. And again, the embarrassment of riches, not just the youth, but the fact that they have players who have gone through the wars, during this stretch that, you know, even though Jurgen Klinsmann has been, not to use the word again, but much maligned in his club, in his follow-up after the World Cup in 2006, but this is the program that both Klinsmann and Yogi Löw has set up that we're just enjoying this now, and it makes it so unfair for the rest of the nations out there.
He's Sal Mithes from Talking Fußball. Sal, regular visitor on the show over many, many years. We've developed a nice friendship, and Sal originally from the Houston area. So Talking Fußball is the podcast that he's involved in. I want to take you to Bayern Munich now. They got the draw. I think they wanted against Sevilla. They had the slip-up against Leipzig this past weekend. Mm-hmm. you know, they had that strange second leg against Beşiktaş, which was pretty much over, so they rested players. You know, and some teams would be saying, hey, look, these little hiccups could be a sign going into your next round of the Champions League. Yet the professionalism of Bayern just and the way they go about things does not make me that concerned.
No, and it shouldn't, because what happened at the beginning of the season, that was a major hiccup. The loss against Hoffenheim, the two draws in a row, the loss against PSG in the group phase, and they ended up winning the return match on that one. So they righted the ship. You know, Jupp Heynckes came in. I think he's a favorite of yours, Glenn. You love
Oh,
him.
I absolutely love Heynckes.
And you know, he just brings in the discipline and got the team back. So after not losing since September against Hoffenheim, this is a blip, but it comes fortunately at the right time. You know, they're 17 points clear. The only one sign I would see, Glenn, is at the end of last season, they kind of faltered. That made the race a little bit tight, but they had won the league already. So when the league's won already, you can kind of focus your energies to the Champions League. Now, with the draw against Sevilla, and if it was any other stronger, any other team, you would be looking at the Spanish clubs, Real, Barca, Juventus, who have all won over Bayern in this stage or later the last few seasons. Then you have Dortmund Easter weekend. Then you have the German Cup right after the last draw against the last match against Sevilla. This is where Bayern gets tested, and this is where tired legs come in. This is where it could be a problem. But with such a big lead in the league, as you mentioned, they don't have to focus on the Dortmund match. They can focus on getting healthy and ready, especially as all those players are playing for Jogi Löw. Maybe they're just going to be on the team to kind of train, probably not play as much, that they can get focused and ready for Sevilla and then try to win that, then beat Bayer Leverkusen on April 17th in the German Cup, get in the final there. And maybe for the Bayern players, they may not be looking for a second treble. Maybe could be looking for a quadruple, looking to win in Russia again. So, you know, Bayern is the professionalism, the training staff. A lot of the German clubs are modeling themselves after them. A lot of teams that would love to have their issues, you know, playing all these important matches. And Leipzig is doing that this season, as you said, doing well in the Europa League. Battling for Champions League in the Bundesliga. It'd be nice to see more of the teams doing it. But right now, the class of German football is Bayern with the system and, of course, with their wins.
Sal Beat, the Talking Football. Real quick, Sal, we got about 1 minute left. I want you to just give us an update on Manuel Neuer and how he's coming back and his injury problems.
Yeah, no, he's definitely going to be back in time. His health is great, and the key is who will be the number one goalie. Right now, you know, Kevin Trapp is up there, Bernd Leno, and, of course, Ter Stegen, all playing a lot of minutes. So this is the embarrassment of riches we talked about. Do you give it to Neuer or do you test him out? And the good thing is going to be healthy. He's still young, but you go with the experience or you go with the hot hands and the hot legs. But the good thing, he's going to be back. And, you know, again, German fans can just look forward to the World Cup and hopefully, as I said, repeat in Russia. Glenn, if you don't take me, I want one of those THS systems to watch the World Cup. It would be fun.
Your THS. It may be a long quote to have to fly over to Germany to do it. But you know what? I'll ask Jesse at THS if he's willing to go over. You might have to take him to a Bayern game, though.
Oh, of course. Anytime.
All right. You're the best, Sal. He's Sal Mitha. He's Talking Football. Sal, thank you very much for joining us and staying up late for this.
My pleasure, as always.
All right, that's Sal Mitha. We wrapped it up big, going all the way over to Munich, Germany there. A moment for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They are bilingual. You don't want to get in an accident, but you might. Car, boat, motorcycle. I would have fit in a couple of those categories for sure. Construction, plant, refinery, 18-wheeler. Daspit Law Firm will treat your case as if it's their own. They'll work 24/7 nights and weekends for you. DaspitLaw.com. That'll do it tonight for Jose Partida, Victor Ariza, and all of you who listened in here tonight. Thanks for tuning in to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We'll see you again next Wednesday, 7 Central. But in the meantime, remember, soccer matters.
ESPN 97.5.